This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
And so I want to minister a message to you today, a Palm Sunday service message. And what Palm Sunday should mean to each one of us. Amen. And so we're going to draw some keys out of the story of Jesus coming into Jerusalem, riding on a donkey. And we can really discover some keys in this story on how really to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ. And how many people want to live a victorious life in Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus is the great victor. He has overcome the grave. Amen. And think about this. Palm Sunday is about the palm leaves that they waved and they put on the ground for Jesus to walk into Jerusalem to come in on that donkey. And, you know, it comes from a palm tree. And a palm tree is one of the most resilient trees ever created by God. It can withstand winds of 80 to 90 miles per hour winds. It's one of the strongest trees ever made. And that really tells us that the tree leaf, it's signifying that Jesus is one of the strongest leaders and saviors ever came to this earth. Amen. And nothing can break Jesus. And I'm going to say this, nothing can break you. And all we got to do is stay focused on Jesus. Amen. And so let's read the story here. It starts in Matthew 21, 1 through 9. It says, "Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village opposite of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied on a colt. With her, loose them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, "The Lord has need of them," and immediately he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet." This is interesting that, you know, Jesus knows everything. He knows what you're going through. He knows what you need. Jesus has it all in control. And he says that there's going to be a donkey and it's really reserved for him. And he said, you know, if they ask you what you're going to do with it, say the Lord has need of it. Amen. That's powerful. I'm going to say this. Anything that we have, we should always have that attitude. If the Lord wants it, he can have it. Is that, am I talking to anybody? Whatever we have, we give to the Lord by grace. Amen. I love that. So the Lord had it all in hand. He knows your future better than you know your past. And the future that he has for you is a good future. You got to believe that. Then he fulfills a prophetic saying. It says here, "Tell the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, lowly and sitting on a donkey, a colt, a foal of a donkey." So the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. You know, it takes faith to do what God calls you to do. Even if it sounds crazy, go get a donkey. Yeah, you know, it sounds crazy. Sometimes what God tells us to do doesn't sound right to the human mind. But it doesn't take sense to follow God. It takes faith. Some of us are trying to reason God out when God's telling us to do something for him. And when God tells you to do something for him, it will work. Do you believe that today? And so it says, "They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them," verse 7, "and set them on them. And a very great multitude spread their clothes on the road. Others cut down branches from the trees and spread them out on the road. Then the multitudes who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" Praise God. So we see this account that Jesus fulfills the prophecy riding on a donkey. Amen. And this is significant to the character of Jesus. Jesus is our humble Savior. He's our humble servant. So today, my title of my message is Palm Sunday Praise. Amen. Somebody say Palm Sunday Praise. Palm Sunday Praise. And really, we need to be living a Palm Sunday Praise lifestyle all our lives. Not just on Sunday. We need to be praising God every day. Amen. And I'm going to say this, that Jesus is the humble Savior. Amen. And it takes humility to praise God. Do you believe that today? It takes a humble person to come to God. Because most of the time, we want to rely on ourselves. We want to rely on other people. The Bible says, don't put your trust in man. Don't put your trust in your money. Put your trust in God. Don't put your trust in yourself. Put your trust in God. Amen? Amen? And so it takes a humble person to let go and let God. Amen. Amen. So my question today, are you humble enough to bow before the Lord and praise Him, not just on Sunday mornings, but are you humble enough to praise Him every day? Am I seeing any praisers in the house today? Are you just Sunday morning praisers, or are you everyday praisers? And I'm going to say this, that we need to be living Palm Sunday praise every day of our lives. I think about this. I think about Daniel. And Daniel, you know, he was thrown into the lion's den for praying, and I believe praising God. And the Bible said he prayed 3 times a day, morning, noon and night. I believe he got on his knees and he worshiped God. He worshiped God. And what did God do for him? God gave him special gifts. He was able to understand visions and dreams. And God promoted him the entire time he was under the Babylonian rule. And I'm going to say this. You start praising God. So you start worshiping Him. You start giving Him praise, not just on Sunday morning, but every day. Get up, worship Him, give Him praise, and watch God start changing things in your lives. God wants to change things in your lives for the better. But are you a praiser? It takes humility to praise God. And humility brings joy into our, humility praise brings joy into our lives. When you're praising God, you're walking in humility, and I call it humility praise. And that's bowing before the Lord when you don't feel like it. Amen? That's lifting up your hands when you don't feel like it. That's singing the songs when you don't feel like it. You push through the flesh into the Spirit. I love that. Sometimes I'm up here and I'm praising the Lord, or I'm down there and the worship team's praising the Lord, and I start praising with the worship team, and all of a sudden the anointing and the grace of God hits me, and I start weeping under His presence. Praise God. Amen. And I don't start off all the time wanting to praise. But when you start praising God with a heart of humility, God will touch your life and bring joy into it. Some of us need the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. In Isaiah 29:19, it says, the humble also shall increase their joy in the Lord. Think about that. The humble shall increase their joy in the Lord, and the poor among men shall rejoice in the Holy One of Israel. So it's saying here, the humble will get the joy of the Lord, and those that are poor shall rejoice. I'm not talking about being poor physically or materially. I'm saying some of us are poor spiritually. And the only way we're going to get out of spiritual poverty is to start worshiping God. Can I get a witness in the house today? And that brings joy. Humility in praise brings promotion into our lives. How many people want to be promoted out here? How many people want God to promote you, bring you to the next level? Amen. I think we all do. And it says in 1 Peter 5, 6, therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, and He will exalt you in due time. So humble praise causes God to exalt us Notice it says due time, because it's not our time. See, God's blessings is not always on your timetable. I'm going to say again, His blessings are not always, it's on His timetable. But you got to have quality praise. God wants to see if you're willing to praise Him when you don't see anything happening. Amen. Are you willing to praise Him when things aren't changing? Are you willing to give Him praise anyhow when you haven't seen the answer to your prayers yet? Keep praising God because He will move. You got to have quality praise for God to move in your lives. Amen. Amen. And then humility and praise brings the rest or the peace of God in your life. So you might be dealing with issues. You might be, maybe you got issues with family members or issues with situations in your life. You start praising God and the peace of God will come into your life. I love this in Matthew 11, 28, 30. It says, "Come to me, all you who labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart." See, this is Jesus riding a donkey, gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burdens are light. If you're doing it right in Jesus, it shouldn't be hard walking this Christian life. If you're doing it right in Jesus, His yoke is easy and His burdens are light. Do you believe that today? And so when you're giving Him praise, amen, He will give you rest in your souls. The key is we got to learn to rest in the Lord. Faith is a rest. Give it to God. We can't control people. We can't make people do good. But God is. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm an under shepherd. Jesus is your shepherd. Jesus is watching over you, but I'm the under shepherd. Amen. But Jesus is the Lord of this church. Do you hear me? Jesus is the Lord of this church. I'm just following Jesus the best that I can. But Jesus is, I'm not your Lord. Jesus is your Lord. And He's the one that gets you to come to church, not Pastor David. And it's not my great messages. It's God drawing you in by His Spirit. Amen. I wish I could pat myself on the back. Oh, man, I'm that awesome. I'm not that good. But God is great. And I can't keep you here, but God can. Amen. I can't get you to come, but God can. God's your shepherd. The Lord is your shepherd, and you shall not want. I'm just an under-shepherd, but hopefully I'm following Him as close as I can. And I'm trying. Amen. Amen. And Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. As I follow Christ in my life, you follow me. But as I don't follow Christ in my life, don't follow me in those areas, especially in traffic. Glory to God. Amen. And so I love this. And the second key, you know, the first key, you got to be humble. If you're going to walk in Palm Sunday praise. If you're going to walk in Palm Sunday praise, amen. If you're going to be a Palm Sunday praiser, you're going to have to be a giver. Oh, Pastor, you just lost me there. Amen. You just lost me there. See, look what they did. This is interesting. They brought the donkey and the colt, laid their clothes on them. Think about this. They took their clothes. they took some, their tunics. A tunic is like a jacket. Amen. And they set it on the colt, and a great multitude spread their clothes on the road. They put their clothes on the road. And others cut down branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And it takes effort to go up on a tree, especially a coconut tree. Anybody ever climbed a coconut tree out here? And I think my wife might have gotten some coconut, but she lived in Hawaii. Anybody ever... And then trying to get a leaf from a coconut tree, that takes effort. And they took these in. I'm going to say it's going to take effort in praising and worshiping God. Amen. It's not just going to come cheap. You know, the blessings of God don't come cheap. You gotta qualify for the grace. You gotta qualify for the blessings of God. And praising God in the midst of the storm is qualifying you for the blessing. Amen. As we see here, they gave their clothes and palm branches, and that made a pathway for Jesus to enter into the city. My question to you today, what are you giving up to make a pathway for Jesus in your life and for Jesus to affect other people's lives? What are you giving up to allow Jesus to come into your life and the lives of those that you love? Amen? They were willing to lay down their clothes and palm leaves and to do that. And I believe that they were showing Jesus how much they loved him by their effort. Amen. And praise and worship all also comes out of a sacrifice of material goods into the kingdom of God. One of the greatest stories recorded in the Gospels is in John 12, 1 and 8. And this is a story of Mary giving the perfume, the anointing oil to Jesus. And this is right before he went in on the donkey to go, because that was right before he was going to go to the cross. And it says here that 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany with Lazarus, who had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. Then they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of those who sat at the table with him. Then Mary took a pound of very costly oil of spikenard, anointed his feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. But one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, who would betray him, said, "Why was this fragrant oil not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" And then he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box and he used to take what was put in it. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. She has kept this for my day of burial. For the poor you have with you always, but me you do not always have." Amen. So this gift that she gave was very costly. It may have been her retirement money. She took her finances, bought the most costly oil, and she put it on the feet of Jesus. Think about that. The cost of what she gave out was not as valuable as the value of her worshiping Jesus with it. Can I get a witness in the house today? Our gifts that we give to God is an act of worship to Jesus. Don't ever let the devil make you think, "Oh, the church doesn't need my money." But no, God needs your heart. I'm going somewhere today. Because where your treasure is, your heart is also. And if you get this thinking, "Well, the church don't need my money. It's my money." Oh, yeah. God gives you the power to get that money. He gives you the ability to get that money. And he gives you the power and the influence and the affluence to get that money. He gives you the power to make wealth. Amen. And we give him honor and glory every time we write a check and give it into the kingdom of God. You're not just giving it to Pastor David or a church organization. You're giving it to Jesus. See, some of us, we get this messed up and we think, "Oh, I'm giving it to the church," you know. No, you're giving it to God. You got to get a revelation of that. And I love that. And it says in Psalms 96, 8, "Give to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts." So in the book of Psalms, it's saying when we come into the house of the Lord, bring an offering. Pastor, you had to go there this morning. No, the Lord's going there this morning. We, you know, you can't outgive the Lord. And it says here, when we worship God, I'm going to say this, when we worship God with our tithes and offerings, we are actually telling God that we love him, that we don't love our money. We love him more than our money. When we're worshiping God by giving into the church or giving to a minister or giving to the poor, we're actually giving to God. In Philippians, and God will reward us. God will bless us. In Philippians 4, 15 and 20, this is Apostle Paul. And he was really blessed by the Philippian church. And he says here, "Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving. So there was some churches out there that were tight. They weren't letting any of their finances go. But that's not us. Amen. But you only, talking about the Philippians. For you, even in the Thessalonian church, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. Now that I seek the gift, Paul's saying, I'm not seeking the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full and have received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you. And now, listen to what he says. He said, it's a sweet smelling aroma, acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. Think about that. Can your gifts be a sweet smelling aroma to the Lord? Wow. And can it be acceptable to God? Only when you don't give out of obligation, you give out of love. And when you give out of love, it becomes a sweet-smelling sacrifice unto the Lord. And notice the blessing here. The blessing is, he says, my God, somebody say, my God, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So that's connected. You know, some people say, well, you know, I can just confess this scripture, my God shall supply all my needs. But if you're not doing the previous thing, giving, it won't work. You can say, well, I can just confess the scripture. I believe in confession. Yeah, but confessing the word without doing the word, you won't be blessed. You got to be a doer of the word and not just a sayer of the word. Some say you got to be a doer, not a hearer, but you got to be a doer and not just a sayer. In other words, you confess that Jesus is supplying all your needs as you give into the kingdom of God. That's what he does, and it becomes a sweet-smelling aroma. In Proverbs 11:24, it says, there's one who generously scatters abroad and yet increases all the more. There's one that's generous, and there's one who withholds what is justly due, but it results only in want and poverty. In other words, if you want to just stay just enough, barely making it, just keep it for yourself. But if you want to see God's blessings in your life, start sowing into the kingdom of God. Start giving Jesus your tithes and your offerings. Glory to God. Another keys to the Palm Sunday praiser is they followed and promoted Jesus. This is powerful. If we're going to be a Palm Sunday praiser, we need to learn to follow and promote Jesus. It says, then the multitudes, in Matthew 21:9, then the multitudes went before, and those who followed cried out, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. So the third key in being a Palm Sunday praiser, we must be a follower of Jesus and not just a fan. Amen. Some people are just fans of Jesus. And a fan is somebody say, oh yeah, I'm with you, but they're not really with you. Something happens, they're not with you. Amen. I preached the wrong sermon and you're out. Amen. No, a fan is only there when they're happy with what you do for them. But when you don't do the right things, when I start teaching that you got to eat my flesh and drink my blood, like Jesus talked about, you got to eat my flesh, a lot of them left him. They were just fans. And the only people that stayed were the 12. And Jesus said, are you going to leave me too? And they said, where will we go? You're the only one with the words of life. Amen. And so he lost a lot of his following by preaching the wrong message. Eating my flesh and drinking my blood. He was talking about communion. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. Amen. Amen. I'm just trying to help you this morning. And so if we're going to be a praiser, and if we're going to be a Palm Sunday praiser, we got to learn to follow Jesus. I like what it says in Matthew 16:24. Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, he let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So if you're going to follow Jesus, you're going to have to let go of your feelings, how you feel about things. Well, I just don't feel like it, praising God. No, if you're going to follow God, you're going to praise God when you don't feel like it. If you're going to follow God, you're going to come to church when you don't feel like it. If you're going to follow God, you're going to witness when you don't feel like it. You're not walking by feelings. You're walking by faith. Faith acts and then the power comes. I'm going to say it again. Faith acts and the power comes. So we don't live a life for ourselves. We live a life for Jesus. My life is in Jesus. It's not for myself. I'm not calling the shots in my life. I'm not the pilot of my life. Jesus is. I'm the co-pilot. I'm letting Jesus call the shots in my life. I'm following Him. He's not following me. Amen? Amen. Can I get a witness in the house? Somebody say, I'm a follower of Jesus. Fourth key, it becomes a Sunday praiser, that you must be a promoter of Jesus. How many people promote Jesus out here? Praise God. I like to promote Jesus. Yesterday I was at the car wash, and there was this lady right next to me washing her car. And I found, while I was washing my car, I found a church card. And that was my opportunity to give the lady a church card, talk to her about Jesus, and invite her to church. And I gave her, and I said, do you know, I just want to give you a card. I'm a pastor. And I pastor a church right down the street. And I just want to let you know Jesus loves you. Jesus died for you. And I gave her a gospel presentation. Amen. And invited her to church and let her know that she needs to receive Jesus because there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And I sowed some good seed. Glory to God. Amen. And I'm believing she might show up one of these days, or she may get saved, or it might be a seed planted. And so we got, somebody say, promote Jesus. We need to be promoting Jesus. Amen. And I love that. And so we need to be promoting Jesus. In Matthew 10:32 says, therefore, whoever confesses me before men, I will confess before my Father who is in heaven. Are you confessing Jesus before people? Are you letting people know that you're saved? Or are you a secret service saint? Nobody really knows. Don't be a secret service saint. Don't be a saint that's I'm in secret service. Nobody knows. No, people better know you're a saint. You're a saint by what the words that you speak. You know, I mean, this is the way my dad, some people asked my dad when he was alive. And he got this from the last pastor, Pastor Joe Warren. People would ask him, how are you doing? And it might be somebody that doesn't even know Jesus. And my dad would say, blessed and anointed. And then he would say, praise God. That would be his saying, blessed and anointed, praise God. That's letting people know that you serve God. Amen. Sometimes, have you ever said to somebody, God bless you? Yeah, that's telling people that you serve God. God bless you. You're bringing God into the equation. I like to try to bring God into the equation of whoever I'm talking to. Just a little. Or Jesus loves you. And I'm trying. Amen. Amen. Jesus, that's for the people that are getting on your nerves. Jesus loves you and I'm trying. I'm thinking about making a t-shirt up like that. Amen. And Jesus loves you. And Jesus can love you through you. Jesus can love others through you. Amen. Amen. And so I love that. So you confess Him before people and He'll confess you before the angels. I love this. We can't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. In Romans 1:16 it says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. You can't be ashamed of Jesus. I'm not ashamed of Jesus. Amen. I'm excited about Jesus. I'm excited about Exceed Life Church. I'm excited about what God is doing. You got to get excited because God's excited about you. The fifth key in being a Palm Sunday praiser is we must be willing to give Jesus praise in public. Praise in public. Amen. You got to be willing to give God some glory in public. You got to be willing to give Him some praise in public. Amen. In Luke 19:37-40, let's just read this again. It says, then as He was now drawing near the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples begin to rejoice and praise God. Think about it. The whole multitude rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. With a loud voice? Are we supposed to be praising God with a soft, meek? No, a loud, boisterous. It's the bold prayers of a righteous man that makes tremendous power available. You've got to get loud in your praise. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Yeah, that's okay, but get loud in your praise. And you might be saying, well, God's not hard hearing, but the devil is. The devil's hard of hearing. And you got to make sure hell hears your praise. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? And when hell hears your praise, hell will back off of you. Because the devil's hard of hearing. Amen. God's not, but God loves loud praises. I'm going to say again, God loves you being exuberant. It says the fervent prayer. You know that word fervent means being boisterous and exuberant. Amen? And it means being loud. Amen? So it says here, then he was now drawing near, and it says here with a loud voice, they rejoiced and praised God with a loud voice for all the mighty works they had seen, saying, blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven, glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees called to him from the crowd, teaching, rebuke you disciples. But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen. See, religious people, they keep the rules, but they don't praise God. Religious people say, well, I keep the rules. I'm okay with God. I don't need to praise him in public. It's a private thing. If you're a religious person, but you're not a religious person, you're a spiritual person. And spiritual people don't praise God in private. They praise God in public. Amen. They give God praise and worship in public. Can I get a witness in the house today? And they were offended of the praise that was coming out of the people towards Jesus. And Jesus said, if they didn't praise, the rocks will cry out. I'm not going to let some rock outpraise me. I'm going to be praising God until Jesus comes back. Amen? So we need to give Jesus praise in public. I love this. In Revelation 12, 11 through 12, it says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Therefore, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Amen. Because, and then it goes on saying the devil's out here trying to kill us. Amen. So the devil is out here trying to kill us. But if we keep praising God and we don't love our lives unto death, in other words, we're willing to give our lives up no matter what. In other words, if somebody put a gun to your head and say, recant Jesus, tell me that you don't love Jesus, you're going to say, I love Jesus and put that gun down in Jesus' name. Amen. Because use your authority. And I'm telling you, that gun won't even go off, glory to God. Because the love of God will stop that person from hurting you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Do you believe that today? I love that. So if we're going to be Palm Sunday praisers and live a lifestyle of praise and worship, number one, we must be humble. It takes a humble person to praise God. Number two, we must be a giver. Number three, we must be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. Number four, we must be a follower of Jesus. And number five, we must be a public praiser. And when we do these keys, we'll be living a lifestyle of praise for the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Did you receive it this morning? Praise God. I'm telling you, I'm going to be like Daniel. I'm going to be praising God in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. I'm going to give praise when I wake up in the morning. I'm going to give praise in the afternoon. And before I go to bed, before I go to sleep, I'm going to give another praise to the Lord and let the Lord know that I'm grateful that he helped me make it through that day. Amen. How many praisers do I have out here? So we're going to praise God today, and I want to encourage you to make praise a lifestyle and not just an event. Make praise in your life lifestyle and watch God start turning things around. You will have the victory that you've been missing in your lives. As you continue to praise him, the victory will come. Did you receive it today? Yes. Amen. We got a worship team coming up. Let's bow our heads first before that. Father, we just thank you for your mercies. Bow our heads in prayer. Father, we thank you for your mercies, and we thank you for your goodness. And we thank you for your love. And I thank you for those that are here in the audience, those that are watching online. And perhaps you've never made a commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. You've never bowed your knee to Jesus. You never confessed the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Well, there is two places you can go when you die, heaven or hell. And you can make it to heaven if you bow your knee to Jesus and receive him as your Lord. And Jesus wants you in heaven with him. So if you're ready to receive Jesus today, just confess this simple prayer and mean in your heart. Say, "Dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe he was raised from the dead for my justification. Today, I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen." If you prayed that, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church so you can grow in your faith. If you're here in the area, come visit us. We'd love for you to be part of the church. And if you're not in the area, find a good church home and keep watching Exceed Life Church so you can build your faith and live that victorious life that God intended you to live.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.